10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
This is Dr. Tom Iannelli, and this is the Croc Podcast.
You're sitting in an examination room. You're afraid. You want to know how you're doing. And a man walks in, and he's your doctor. You don't really know him. You don't know anything about him. You haven't even spent more than 5 minutes with him over your weeks of treatment. You feel let down. You feel vulnerable. You feel timid. Welcome, friends. This is Dr. Tom Iannelli welcoming you to another Croc Podcast. Across the United States from me today, my friend, my podcast guru, Professor Angel Santana. Angel, good afternoon.
I miss you, man. I gotta be honest. It's weird. It's cool. Technology's fun, but there's nothing like being in your office in that surrounding and in that atmosphere. But you know what? I'm okay with it. How are you doing?
Well, I don't want anyone to feel too badly for me. I am sitting in the heart of the vortexes of Sedona, and we should actually do a podcast on this. This apparently is a very healing place with all the red rocks. Doing some well-deserved hiking and relaxation. Been working very hard lately, so it's good to be out here, but I could not let the podcast nation, our Croc Nation, down and miss a podcast. Thank you for agreeing to join me. It's about midnight Eastern Standard Time by you. Your little baby daughter is cranky, and thank you for being here.
Hey, anything for you, man.
We share a lot of... We share a lot of deep moments, a lot of spiritual moments. And on today's podcast, we're going to be talking about something, actually launching a new module. The theme of this module, or the name of this module, is going to be Confessions. These are going to be moments from my practice, moments of learning, moments of lessons that a patient has given me. And I really... I'm very excited. I'm simultaneously excited, but somewhat scared, you know, to share some of this, because it's not very becoming. You know, it's not very, you know, usually people want to be brought out in the best light. But in this case, I think it's very important for us as people on the other side of the glass to bring to our listeners honesty. And we want to bring them information, and we want to bring them transparency. And if there's a moment in my practice where I could have done something better, or I learned something from a patient, I want to be able to make that adjustment and sort of find out why. And that's kind of what we're going to talk about today. We're going to be talking about confessions. The name of today's episode will be The Perfect Storm. So let's rewind maybe about a month or so ago. And it was at the end of the day, and it was one of my last follow-ups. And I walked into the room, and there was a woman sitting on the table, ready to be examined. I was in there with the nurse, and hey, how are you doing? And there was a coldness. There was a very, very detached and I want to say maybe angry, hostile vibe I was getting from this patient. And you have to understand, you know, if it wasn't for coronavirus, I'm running in, you know, with the masks and the whole thing, I'm running into rooms, hugging people, you know, crying with people. So this is really not an experience, thankfully, that I have to endure very often. But I did my job. I did what I had to do. I examined the patient. Everything was great. She looked wonderful. And everything was going as expected. And I kind of walked out, and I kind of, there was something that was wrong. I couldn't exactly put my finger on it, but, you know, being that, you know, in our profession, you know, work piles up, you get lost in the work, you kind of think about it, and then you kind of lose that. And then you go back to your office. And the next day, my nurse who was with me, Caitlin, said, you know, that patient you saw yesterday, and obviously I'm not going to share her name, but she was very, very, very upset. And I said, you know, I kind of felt there was something that was missing, something that was we were not connecting. So why am I sharing this with you? Well, the reason why is because it's very important for us as your caretaker, I'm sorry, your caregivers, to be really, really, I guess, connected with you. And we're going to be talking about getting to know your patients, them getting to know you, establishing a relationship with your patient, those types of things. But I wanted to kind of bring this out because immediately I got on the phone and I called the patient and I totally apologized. And I just wanted to hear what she had to say. And she had a heck of a lot to say, and which is great. That's why we're having this podcast, because it was a teaching moment. So we call this episode The Perfect Storm, and it literally was the perfect storm. So this patient's first interaction with me was, we now, those of you living in the Northeast in the Hudson Valley know that we had a very trying and difficult winter. There was a period of time, I want to say in January, February, where we were getting winter storm after winter storm after winter storm. And on this day, there happened to be a blizzard. And the patient requested that we do a televisit for the consultation. And, you know, I was kind of snowed in. Where was I going? I agreed to do that. Mistake number one. So we had the televisit. So we didn't connect from that first moment. Everything was done kind of the way you and I are talking, Angel, just kind of on a computer. And then when the patient came in, we got her started. Everything was working out well. But then we're wearing masks. I don't recognize anybody. I mean, remember one of our first episodes, if not our first episode, is the waiting room. Coronavirus has taken that away from me. I really can't go into the waiting room, or there's really not many people in the waiting room because people are coming in one at a time or whatever. Also, the patient's husband really couldn't come in as well for the weekly checks because of the coronavirus. And number four, I have two of the greatest nurse practitioners on earth. I have Jessica, I have Louise. They are amazing. They are empathetic. They are wonderful, but they are not me. And they see many of the weekly checks and they come and see the patient. And as it happens, this patient went through her 5 weeks of therapy, and really she and I never really had that opportunity to bond. So when I mention this module as being confessions, what is the question that I'm actually, am I confessing to you? Do I need to be absolved from the Croc Nation? Absolutely not. What I'm asking and what I'm exclaiming is that I want to make sure that if there's a teaching moment from my practice, I am going to share it with you, because what is really the underlying theme of what we're talking about today? The theme is, what is maybe not your right, but what are you deserving of? What type of relationship are you deserving of with your doctor, with your caregiver? What type of friendship or bond do you need to sort of develop with them so you could feel safe, so you can feel taken care of, that you can feel secure? What are our obligations as your caregivers to achieve that? And I mentioned four very legitimate, reasonable issues. The televisit because of the blizzard, the masks, the nurse practitioners, the coronavirus. Make no mistake about it, these are excuses. In my book, and what you're going to get from the Croc Nation, from these podcasts, is you're never going to get an excuse, because a cancer survivor can never be wrong. You are never wrong. Even when you're wrong, you are not wrong. For example, even on that first televisit, I give every single patient my cell phone number to try to prevent moments like this from happening. That patient did not feel comfortable, did not feel confident to use that number. So my system broke down. It is not the obligation of the patient to connect with me. It's my obligation. It's our obligation to connect with them. So what we're going to be talking about today, and we're already talking about it, is that what do you need to do to try to achieve this, both from the caretaker side, I'm sorry, I keep using the word caretaker, from the caregiver side and from the survivor side. So I can speak to you from both sides. So from the caregiver side, what could I have done better? What could I have done to connect with this person? Well, number one, I should have written a note to myself that I never met this person face-to-face for the first consultation. I met her on a telephone, on a computer. Number two is that I never got to see what she looked like. She never got to see what I looked like. Now, I'm not going to tell someone to take their mask off, but I should, sure as the day is long, make sure, especially sure, that I meet that person, I sit down with that person, I make that person feel comfortable, that I recognize that I have never face-to-face seen that person. Coronavirus, Shimonavirus, right? That's what that's what the rabbi would say, right? So coronavirus is, you know, horrible, and it has dehumanized us. It has taken away many of that personal touch. You know, the masks hide who we are. We can't hug our patients. You know, we can't even shake a patient's hand, really. We do elbow things and all these weird things. But whatever, I mean, we have to work within what, I mean, the coronavirus hopefully is starting to leave us, and life maybe will get back somewhat to normal, but it will never get back 100% to normal, especially in the cancer survivor group, because these are high risk people and they're going to be extraordinarily cautious. I could definitely see a future with many people not feeling comfortable without a mask, many people not feeling comfortable with a hug, but that is still our obligation to work through that, to still develop that closeness, that bond. I'm not saying that all doctors should, you know, have a bowling team and have all their patients on their bowling team, but certainly there is room to develop a close relationship, at least a respectful relationship, at least a relationship where you know a little something about your patient and your patient knows something about you. And this episode is not only just for the survivor, it's also for the caregiver, for the doctors and nurses out there. I want you guys to know that you might have, getting to the third point, these amazing, you know, nurse practitioners or practice extenders, we call them, just nurses, oncology nurses are amazing. Oncology nurse practitioners, physician assistants, all the power professionals, the physical therapists, the occupational therapists, the audiologists, the nutritionists. These are all wonderful, wonderful people that you really should have relationships with and know something about and have them know something about you. But at the same time, they're still not you. At the end of the day, it's your name on that chart. At the end of the day, it's your responsibility to take care of these patients. And, you know, Angel, we talk about this a lot, and we have to talk about you know, accessibility. You know, when we, you know, we are a young podcast, we're still growing into our mission statement and our vision statement. But I can definitely tell you that one of the arms of the foundation, I should say, one of the foundations of our whole movement of why we're doing this, one of those four foundational pillars is accessibility, and that sharing of the cell phone. What did I do, or what better question is, what didn't I do to make that patient feel comfortable enough to pick up the phone to say, hey, doc, like, really, like, who are you? I don't really even, like, you know, I've been on treatment for 10 days and I've never met you. I don't even know who you are. You know, you have wonderful nurse practitioners and your staff is great and I'm getting really wonderful treatment, but, like, you know, you're my guy and I don't even know who you are. Like, I don't think I've ever seen you, or if I did, I didn't recognize you because you had a mask on. So it's really our responsibility. And I wish I could sit here and make policy and say, hey, docs, all you docs out there, especially, you know, in the oncology world where our role is a lot more, you know, important to develop that bond, you know, share your freaking cell phone number. But I can't do that because, you know, some people would find it very inappropriate or very off-putting. But that works in my practice, and accessibility is very important. And that's going to be, as I said, one of the pillars, one of the foundations of this movement to try to help and empower cancer survivors to get better care. The other thing that I wanted to say in this confessions module, which hopefully will not have a lot of episodes, but, you know, it will at times, you know, be important. And it's really important for practitioners, for caregivers, to take this criticism constructively, not feel, oh my God, why didn't you just pick up the phone and call me? Oh my God, for God's sake, you know, we were nice enough to let you, you know, not come in on a blizzard. Like, instead of all this, you know, hyperbole, you should say to yourself, hey, you know, it's really our responsibility to be accessible to our patients. And one of the last things that I wanted to say, you know, and I want you guys to advocate for yourself, and we'll have our own separate podcast on self-advocacy and accessibility. But it is your right, and you are deserving of developing that relationship. So when you're out there, and believe me when I tell you, I'm sharing this because I am not the only person out there who had this bad experience with what this one particular patient. I'm sure many of you don't know your doctors. I'm sure many of you feel rushed when you're in the doctor's office. I'm sure many of you feel you only get 2 minutes with your doctor and they're running off, you know, to the next room, and you didn't really get your questions answered. You didn't really develop, you know, you didn't really get satisfaction with the visit that you had. And this is sort of a tipping point for us to make sure that you know that it is your right. It is, you are deserving of that as much time as you need. You are deserving of attention. You are deserving to get to know who you're placing your life in, whose hands. You are deserving of that. So that's really important. And I want to end this podcast, and this is a nice short basis. So when I was a young, you know, cancer survivor advocate, you know, it was wonderful. I mean, CROC helped thousands and thousands of survivors. And I have to tell you, it felt good. And in some moments, I can't say that I didn't feel a bit like a guru, where I was kind of, you know, that the Pied Piper, you know, kind of leading this group of survivors to the promised land or whatever. And I was looking at gurus, and I've now become, I'll let you guys know that you are your own guru. St. Augustine once said, if you find that you have a problem, go out and seek a guru. And once you find that guru, you will be healed. Because what you will find is that your guru is human, your guru is fallible, and really all the answers that you need are really embedded deeply to yourself, within yourself, within your heart, within your brain, within your spirit. So I want to end like I end all of my podcasts. First and foremost, Professor Santana, do you have anything to add? Any questions? Any thoughts?
You know, as you know, I can confess to you as a patient, I most recently had that type of moment, and I don't want to get into that, because I think what you just described as a caregiver has truly, I commend you as your friend and as your producer. I think you have to humble yourself, and you have to be able to say, you know what, there is something that is room for improvement. So for that, I thank you for being honest. And to tell our Croc Nation, I didn't even know what the episode was going to be about. So I'm literally watching you, and I didn't know any of the premise. So I really, it's hard for me to even come up with something off the fly, but I have to ask you a question. Actually, this will be the first time I have a question that came up while you were telling the story. Is this the first, I mean, I know you said there's probably going to be, unfortunately, maybe another situation, but do normally your telehealth, do they normally go off without a hitch? Because, you know, when I first met you, you know, you are like me. We're both animated guys. We're both energetic. Some people may take that as an overwhelming thing. So is this something that may happen sometimes, or has this really caught you off guard?
Televisits are a very interesting thing. I tell my patients all the time, coronavirus didn't do all bad. There were a couple of good things that came out of it. So televisits are one, they're terrible when you're first meeting a patient. So your first meeting with a patient on a telephone, on a Zoom, on a computer, you're getting such a diluted, I mean, a person like can say, okay, I have, you know, stage one prostate cancer, and I can give you a 45-minute talk about prostate cancer stage one, how to treat it. I can do that in my sleep, but you're not connecting. You're as much as you try, as much as, and again, this wonderful patient is our teacher today of how that does not work. I'll tell you where televisits do help. Say you're an 85-year-old guy that I've been seeing for the last 15 or 20 years, and I treated you for prostate cancer, and every year for the last 15 years, your PSA has been 0.2. You're cured. You're not going to die of your prostate cancer. You live in Sullivan County, 50 minutes away. It's the winter. And like, do you really need to get in your car on a bad day to drive to see me for 5 minutes for me to tell you you've been cured of your prostate cancer once again, 20 times every year for 20 years? You don't. That would be fine for me to talk to you on a telephone, tell you these things, catch up with you, because I've already established that bond. We have a relationship. I know you like to fish. I know you have 3 grandkids. I know that you love your wife's meatloaf. I know all these things about you. You know all the stuff about me. We're friends. There's no problem. I save you a trip. I save you resources. I save you everything, and I give you information. No problem. And probably the most important assistance with the telemedicine is with second opinions. So when I see a patient, every single patient that I see, after I'm done talking about the situation and the treatment and the recommendations and the side effects, I offer every single patient I see a second opinion. Now, you have to understand, the Hudson Valley might be only maybe 70 minutes away from us as far as distance, but it might as well be Mars, because to have a patient, drive to Manhattan, to go to Memorial Sloan Kettering, to go to NYU, to go to Mount Sinai, to go to Beth Israel, to go to wherever, to get that second opinion is a hardship. First of all, it's very costly. We work in an area that's, you know, we're all hardworking people. You know, we're all, you know, blue collar. Many of us, we have a lot of policemen, firemen, you know, first responders. I'm sorry. We have a lot of farmers. I mean, you know, really to go into the city for a second opinion is a very difficult thing. So what I've been telling my patients, if they don't really feel comfortable moving forward without getting sort of the blessing from a bigger institution, is that I've been helping them get televisits with some of the world's best oncologists. And that's been working out wonderful. So in that sense, so in the second and third scenarios, telehealth has been fantastic. The first scenario, when you're first starting to establish, you know, you have to understand that first connection is very important, as beautifully represented in this podcast. But also, don't forget, there's that alienation with the masks. In many cases, you're not allowed to come in with your partner or with your significant other. Things hopefully are changing and we're getting back to normal. But up until this point, I mean, you know, not good, you know, not good at all. So I hope I answered your question.
You did. And pardon me that, you know, I had to cut you earlier because I'm having a thunderstorm over here. So that's why, eventually this will probably never make a YouTube version because you're stuck right now in your video. And so, but no, I think that you should be applauded. And I know that you're not the type of guy that asks for the pat on the back. You're not, for the record, that's not you. However, as your producer, as your friend, and as for, I know that you're going to touch a lot of people with today's episode. Thank you, because not all doctors would do what you just did. And that's what.
Well, I want to take this moment and thank that patient. She probably will never talk to me again, but you know what? She made a huge difference in my life, and she's going to make a big difference in many people's lives. So just by her criticism, by this lesson, she has schooled us, and I thank her and God bless her. As we end this podcast, as we end all of our podcasts, thanks to Professor Angel Santana, Have Faith, Let It Begin, Rod Freeman, Small Biz Up, Michael John Benzea, who we met last week. I hope you listened to that episode. It was absolutely spectacular. He's our actor friend from the West Coast, had a lot of great things to say about his hero, his mother, Charlotte Larson, who's his associate out in Hollywood. Thank you for believing in us. And as I end this podcast, as I end every podcast, on behalf of Professor Angel Santana, Dr. Tommy and Ellie, we are wishing you a long, healthy, happy, and cancer-free life. Good luck, good love, God bless. Peace. We will see you next week.